system. I find you in the shows and moving are great. And being a nerd, the sign system is everywhere you go.
Uno, dos, tres. Yet ye sam. That's 1, 2, 3 in Cantonese. Welcome.
Oh,
back.
Nice.
Trilingual, you know, right here. But welcome back to Design System Office Hours Podcast. How are you, PJ?
I am. I'm actually really tired, man. So I got a. We got a puppy, 3 months old, friggin' huge, and I'm exhausted because I'm understandably the point person to take care of this new member of the family, and it turns out it's a lot of work. So I'm hanging in there, but I'm really tired.
Sounds like PJ wanted a federated approach to dog care, and now it's a centralized approach.
No, I knew what I was signing up for. One thing I did, and I had to stop doing it. I looked at the size calculator for how big this dog is going to get. And I was told one thing at the adoption agency, and the calculator said something else. And so I'm hoping that the calculator's wrong, because this is going to be a pony if this calculator is correct. So yeah, it's the ups and downs of dog adoption.
You're gonna have a racehorse, a greyhound soon.
Yeah, a greyhound about the size of a Honda Civic. Anyways.
Well, yeah, one thing we realized is we haven't talked about our roles and where we've been and where we would like to go in quite a while, if at all. So at the end of the year, thinking about what our roles are right now as design system practitioners, maintainers, whatever we call ourselves, what we do and where we would like for ourselves to go.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. And let's start with you, Davey.
Oh, no, let's start with me. Okay, so yeah, so let me take a look back and see where I've been in over the past 2 years, which I think would be extremely interesting. So I had started as a principal designer on our team, IC, but I was able to lead the Design System Initiative at Disney, moved I would say pretty quickly to transition from a principal designer to a design manager role. And now coming to Meta, I am back as an IC and looking towards whether I want to get back into design management or not. And it's likely that answer is yes. I would like to now that I've gotten my feet wet. Now, I would say the differences between being an IC versus being a manager, I think are vastly different. While I was a manager at Disney, I did do some IC work for better or for worse. And I think that was more of just a resourcing thing. So we've talked about this ad nauseum over the past few episodes too, but we are in some challenging times in terms of staffing and resourcing for our design system team. So we're being asked to do more with less. So whether we lose design headcount or not, managers and leads need to step in and do a little more than they may have been accustomed to doing. So I've been on the hook for things like project planning, tracking of our work stream velocity, task tracking, which very much is more of like a program management product owner role, but with the absence of that on our team, something that I picked up. I don't make and design components on a day-to-day, but I have on this team, and that was really to get us started.
Yeah. It's such a weird industry, man, and I don't even know if I think that far out anymore. You know, I'm going to start with a story about fences, and I swear it'll make sense. So, our fence fell over, God, 2 years ago. And, the whole damn thing fell over in a storm. And so I decided, well, you know, I'll rebuild this fence. I've never done that before, but I'll figure it out. So, yeah, that was my first mistake. So I started building this fence, but we have kids, right? So we need a fence in the backyard. This was the fence in the backyard. We need a fence in the backyard to protect our kids. So I had to do this and I had to do it fast. So it's like, you know, day two, it's 11 PM. I'm out there for like 7 hours doing this thing. My wife, in her, you know, immense generosity, comes out to help at 11 o'clock. And I've got my like light on my head, you know, on my head, like those headlamp things. And I'm trying to nail gun boards to the fence. And my wife is like, all right, like, show me how I can help. Like, you know, and it's funny because I'm like, I'm trying, but I'm also just trying to get this thing done. And my wife looks at me and says, you just want to build the damn fence. Like, I'm happy to help, but it's clear that you just want to build the fence. And like, that is the metaphor for where I'm at in the stage of my career, is I just want to build the damn fence. I want to do it as much as possible. And so while I love, you know, the mentorship aspect of things, I really just enjoy doing the work and trying to move an effort forward. So that's where I am at Pinterest. I just so to my core want to get this design system to the place where I think it can be. And so my main focus is just to do whatever I can and play the role necessary to make that happen as effectively as possible. And if that means, you know, writing JIRA tickets, great. If that means writing, you know, weekly newsletters, great. Whatever it's going to take to make that happen is what I want to do. Because it really, at the end of the day, that's my focus for my time at Pinterest, is to try to spin this initiative up and really see how far it can go, because we think it can go far, far away. So it's in many ways, it's a lot less about me. It's funny, like, you know, weekly one-on-ones, we're not talking about me. We're talking about the effort, like what we need to do, you know, what the priorities are. My career growth is like way, way, way down on the list of discussions. And it's more about, all right, here's the critical things that we need to focus on for this week or this month. How can we coordinate that? What do you need from me? Here's what I need from you. And so that really is my focus at this point. And I actually really enjoy it, because there's a goal in mind, and there's, you know, a metaphorical gold pot at the end of the rainbow, hopefully. And if there's a real gold pot too, that'd be fine as well.
Yeah, there might be a gold pot in the form of, you know, comp or RSUs or what have you. But I think I love the idea of just jumping in and trying to move the ball, like the giant boulder, forward. So the reason why I jumped in with one of my design partners and started building components and refactoring is because we thought that we were in the best place to move this ball forward in like a very short amount of time. So when I say short amount of time, that's a matter of maybe 1 month, 2 months, a quarter. I don't think in terms of design time, that's that much. If you're able to show impact on a fairly significant piece of the pie in a quarter, I think that's worth me jumping in and spending that time. And the really good output of that is it's a tangible update that artifact that designers can use. Like these libraries are now refactored because we put in the work, and we put in another, you know, quarter to do this sort of thing. And along the whole way, we documented how we did this, how we audited components, refactored them, how we like to document them from a baseline point of view. And we've spun up more work and more interest in product designers on our team picking up the workload.
Yeah, it's the thing that's interesting about our job and why I think it's ultimately just a really silly industry is, you know, I think back to folks that worked at a car plant, and you know, they'd be sitting at home on their weekend and they'd see a car drive by and they say, I helped make that. Like, that thing that exists in real life, I helped make. And with us, it's just, you know, I ship something that 25% of people randomly saw, and then it was gone. So much of our work is ephemeral that it's such a weird thing to try to figure out what you're doing or what your impact is. It's very ephemeral and temporary and abstract. And so that's a thing that I'm struggling with in terms of, you know, where do I want to go and what I'm doing. And so it's interesting. We're focusing on impact, like what are the outcomes of that sort of thing? But even that is somewhat ephemeral. You make a thing, you support a team, it supports them for their thing now, but what about the next thing? And so it's an interesting existential topic because it's so weird to grasp what you're actually doing at the end of the day, and what the output and outcomes are.
It's an interesting place also because you were at this role a design manager, and now you've taken a different role, and I'm an IC looking to become a design manager. So it's almost like we're a mirror, but we're still taking on pieces of management, whether it's like management of an initiative or leading initiative. So the things that is under my purview in terms of leading and projects and such is more foundation space. So it's not only the ongoing maintenance and quality insurance of the component libraries, but documentation and accessibility and that sort of thing. So all of that falls in under my purview, and it would be really cool, I think, once we get a little more in terms of resourcing, if I were able to step back and play more of like a strategic role and focus on how can we make this better? How can we ensure product quality? How can we scale this out a little better? How can we ensure that all of this stuff is maintained on a regular basis? That's the thing that is really interesting to me. But it's all product owner type things, like you had mentioned.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I personally struggle with, and look, I am not an expert in the subject, so I just want to lead with that. But I when I left management, I felt like I could actually focus on the strategy more. And that's the thing that I've had a hard time with is I never felt like I had the bandwidth to really dig into the strategy and have the focus to really figure out with any modicum of confidence, at least to the degree that I have now. Let me preface that. You know, where we should go and why and how, because you're so busy helping the team, right? Like it's hopefully you care about the people that report to you and you're focusing on them. And that's a full-time job. And though, oh, by the way, focus on strategy too, win, like something's going to give. So that's the thing that I struggle with is that, you know, we associate leadership and management, but I don't know, man. I don't know if that's a good connection. And what I've been hoping to find is focusing on this strategic direction of XYZ and then working with peers to make that happen who don't report to me. But if there's a way to separate those two things, that's generally where I would like to focus in on. Because also I think you have a lot more cred if you're doing at least some of the work. A lot of us, if not all, have had those managers that haven't done work in a long time, and they're talking and you're thinking, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And so once you separate too far from the work, I fear that the strategy starts to get disconnected because strategies are full of tactics. You know, there's a bunch of like little concrete things you need to do to make that strategy a reality. And I think those two are very connected. And sure, you can work together with people that are working tactically on that strategy, but that makes it more difficult, right? Like that, there's already the opportunity for massive communication gaps with that approach.
Yeah, that's a really good point in terms of being close to the library artifacts, being close to the documentation, and being able to edit, modify, or refactor any of this stuff at any given point. So while I may, over time, like the there's a chart I'm pointing up in terms of like when I had started, I had created a ton of components and refactored a bunch of stuff really as a need to help the team to move the ball forward, but also as a great learning mechanism as a new designer on the team. Now that may go down over time, but that's never going to go to zero. I'm always going to be interested in utilizing like our artifacts, trying to break them and really trying to figure out how designers can better utilize them. So the thing that is most interesting to me that I'm sure you could thumbs up is really trying to understand how designers are utilizing and how they're entering and exiting. What are their entry points for our system? So if the entry point is documentation, how can we make sure that documentation is both succinct and comprehensive? I know that's both two sides of the spectrum,
sure.
But how can we get them the information they need as fast as we can? Maybe that's in the form of short-term video. In addition, how can we provide them guidelines and somewhat concise, somewhat verbose documentation of how these things are supposed to work?
Yeah, those are the fun things to work on. Not specifically documentation, but just crap. How the hell do we get people that have no interest in ingesting something like documentation? How do we get them to do that? I love that, and I'm less interested in, hey team, here's a problem, go figure it out. Because I just kind of feels crappy of like, hey, I'm just going to throw this problem at you and like, good luck. I want to try to help and be a part of that process and work through it together. And it's just, I find much more fulfillment in solving those problems. Building the damn fence. I want to go through the process of trying to solve that problem.
Yeah. Since you mentioned that, I also rebuilt a fence and to my dismay, probably could have saved some time and hired some people, but our product quality on the fence is very, very high. It took us a bit longer, but it was myself and my neighbor that built the fence. I did most of I did all the digging. I put the rails. My neighbor merely clipboard managed me, walked back and forth. Counted.
And you say that with so much animus. It's well disguised, but like clearly there's a little bit of resentment there. And that's how I always felt as a manager when like the just yuck.
but you're exactly right. So like if the manager would jump in and participated in the action and built empathy on some of the issues that we had dealt with, I think that's that shows a bit more respect and really builds an understanding that the manager or the super senior IC lead understands the constraints in the given organization.
Yeah, but here's the rub, man. Managers ain't got no time for that. They're crushed. I mean, that's the one thing I learned is that they're working harder than anyone else. They're in a gazillion meetings. They've got a ton of things that they got to do. My level of sympathy for managers has skyrocketed ever since being in that position. So oftentimes when I'm talking to my boss, I'm saying like, yo, I know you're probably dying right now. Like A, don't worry about XYZ, or B, how can I help you? Because I know that you're getting a ton thrown at you. And so that's the tough thing. This is almost the very nature of it creates this unawesome dynamic to where I bet you a lot of managers would love to be able to chip in, but they just don't have the time for it, which makes it challenging. And so that's where we're kind of drifting off into another area, but I almost feel like this is a great opportunity for a field general, like someone who isn't directly managing, but is really in the thick of it, but is at a senior level to where they kind of understand how all the pieces fit together, but don't have the responsibilities of people management on them at all times. It's taking up 70 hours a week. Not that I was working, you know what I mean, but like a lot of time. So that's kind of where I've landed in this whole thing, is that to ask managers to focus on strategy and product ownership as well, I think it's just too much. They're likely going to do none of those things well.
Yeah. This goes back to, my open initial skepticism of super senior roles for design system teams, like directors and such. It's like, unclear how this goes, because I've only been working with the art director for, I would say, a few months. I have a really good working relationship with him, and I think similarly to yourself, PJ. So it's different than how it may have been in the past. There seems to be much more support, but I surely don't expect my director to jump into our documentation or our Figma libraries or code, but looking more for directional guidance, which is greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I definitely think there are things that they can focus on of, you know, what's the, you know, where are we heading 2-3 years from now, and how do we set up an environment within the broader company to set that up for success? There are definitely areas that, that they can focus on, but that starts to really abstract away from the day-to-day work. I mean, you're talking about stuff that we haven't even done yet, or not even close to doing yet. And so that's interesting in and of itself, but it becomes really ephemeral, speaking of which, and abstract, because as soon as you're talking 2-3 years out, the chances of that happening are happening in the way that you think it's going to happen are pretty slim.
Yeah. Do you see other roles that are tertiary to ours that I may be interested in too? So I see lead right now. I'd like to be a manager again. That'd be a good transition. I do a lot of program management. What if I became a program manager? I've had program managers tell me like, oh, I think you're on the wrong team. Maybe you should be a program manager with me. Now that I think that would take me completely away from the artifacts, which not sure how I feel like sitting here today.
But. Yeah. I mean, I think I would highly suggest that we, all of us, open up to trying new things. All of us, whoever out there, the three of you listening to this podcast, you're not an engineer, you're not a designer, you're not a product manager, you're a human being, right? And you have a brain that can do all sorts of things, and you don't have to be a designer for the rest of your life. You don't have to be an engineer for the rest of your life. You can, you know, like become a nurse. You can do all sorts of things. And so I think it's worth exploring different areas. I mean, it's gonna make you better. I feel like what I learned as a product manager and as a developer earlier on had a bigger impact on me as a designer than my time as a designer. And so you learn all these, it's like almost like cross training. You learn all these different skills that you bring back to your home home base in terms of your career. Or you figure out that you like it more and you just do that moving forward. I think it's a great thing to do, to branch out and try new things.
Another role that seems interesting and somewhat newer is developer or designer advocacy roles. And I'm not sure in terms of the ones that work at specific apps, whether they are, you know, more junior, mid-level or senior. I'm not certain, but there's designers on our team that are interested in advocacy roles and really just the realm of pushing education forward on how to utilize the system. And I think Gina from Clarity, Gina Bolton, I think she's in an advocacy type role at Material. So these roles exist, and it is extremely interesting because they may be in the forefront of working with other teams and working with and really trying to get people to adopt and push the boundaries of where the system may need to go.
Yeah. I in some regards, I think we're all systems advocates to some degree. But it could be really fun to just focus in on that and just really be the advocate both for the design system, but also the advocate for the customers and bring that back because we are more separated. And if you had someone that was just hitting the ground every single day, talking to folks and seeing how it can better support them, geez, that would be amazing. At previous jobs, I loved talking with the sales team because they were hearing directly from the customers, like, look, this isn't why they're buying your product. It's pretty important, right? Like, so, I think it's really helpful if you have the headcount and the ability to do that.
What's one thing or one major initiative that you want to take on next year?
I'm thinking we can edit this out. What I want, I think the one initiative I want to figure out is how to have Gestalt be a more explicit part of the product development process, and have a high degree of confidence that's going to be a supportive part of the process. That's a thing I'm really interested in because I'm hoping it's going to have a more profound impact on how the work is done. So that's the thing that I'm most interested in is how do we really bake in Gestalt as just a core part of how the work is done. You know, when designers go to work, they fire up Figma. How does Gestalt be a neighbor, you know, adjacent to that and just be what they think of when they think of the work. So that's what I want to do. I think we're a ways off to get there, but I'm hoping we can start to broach that topic in 2023. How about you, man?
I think there's two things. One of them is similar to what you said. So we have an entry point that is a plugin made by our design infrastructure team. Like, bless their hearts. I'm very thankful to be in an organization that has a dedicated resourcing for design systems, engineering, and infrastructure. So making sure that entry point is the best as possible and designers are able to get the most out of that, whether it's access to components, linting, and training designers to utilize that stuff properly. So that's number one thing that I would like to move. And that's a very tactical thing that we could survey as well in terms of the sentiment and usefulness of this. The second thing that I wanted to do is directly also tied to this is shift from a reactive model to more of a proactive model of engagement. So you notice we haven't talked about governance. There's no episode on governance because that's a bad word. And we don't want to be approvers of things. Like, we don't want to say, don't ship because XYZ. But we want to be able to work with designers and engineers earlier on to try to scale out our system solutions and workshop things with them. And that does require moving away from the just say no mentality, which I feel like a lot of design system maintainers do. It's a very much, you can't do this because it's not a part of the system. End of story. I would like to shift that also to be, maybe we could do that. Yes, let's try it out. Let's spike it. Let's be proactive and let's try to workshop and engage with product designers across the organization. So trying to get them early when they're in the discovery process to really understand how designers are working.
Yeah, I think so how do I say this diplomatically? I would not suggest using because it's not in the system as the reason to not do something. I think that's probably a fairly uncontroversial bit of advice. I mean, if it's not accessible, if it's going to paint a team in a corner and they're just not aware of it, if it doesn't scale. I think those are all good reasons, but I would lead with those as opposed to it's not in the system, because there's all sorts of reasons why something may not be in the system. Governance would be a great topic for us to cover, because I think I probably have a slightly different view on government, design systems, governance.
My governance has been different from when we supported 50 to when we support some ungodly number that hundreds. I don't know. It's unclear. The scary part, like I'll mention, is like there's so many designers that use our stuff that it's sometimes hard half over half to find the same people to ask questions, because there's hundreds of unique characters that come through our support. And I think it'd be great to be able to be more proactive and work with all of these people and develop relationships. And it's a trust building exercise in terms of the system and branding ourselves as a helpful team versus the no team. We don't want that sentiment at all.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. Boy, this is morphing into governance already, but just to briefly cover this topic, is that if there ain't no trust, then governance is just going to be bad vibes. But if you've built up a reputation that you genuinely want to help and you genuinely want to support teams and lead and basically come to decisions that are going to be the best for the company and for the product, then all of a sudden, I think governance takes on a completely different shape and context for the people that are working with it. So sure, if you're going to be a jerk, then yeah, governance crappy. But if you're here, if you're trying to make decisions for the best of all parties, I think it can be a really positive influence within a product.
Yeah, I have one other thing that I wanted to tackle in terms of a goal, and I joke because when I talked to my director, I mentioned, "Oh, I'm trying to come up with goals of what I want to do specifically for myself," because I do believe that a lot of my goals are very much team goals. It's really trying to complete this thing to benefit the team or product designers. So in the past, I've had goals to be more involved in design system outreach, product design outreach outside of my company. Now, I feel like I've been doing a good amount of that with talking to the tens of thousands of y'all here.
Yep. That many.
1,100,000. I think it's the number.
1,100,000.
But it would be great to bring that back in-house and do similar things and do more specific meta design system outreach internally. I think we've learned quite a bit in terms of talking about the sort of stuff, facilitating conversations, taking conversations from left to right field and back. It would be great to start doing this in-house. So I'm going to try to figure out different methods on that, whether it's a design system podcast there or some other thing.
Do you think folks would be interested in that? That is not a snipe on you. I haven't even thought about something like that. I'm curious if you're getting some sort of idea that would be something that Facebook would be interested in, your peers at Facebook would be interested in.
I mean, I think this also stems from just the success of your outreach, like Cincha's outreach on your own design system.
Cincha's outreach.
My
outreach.
Hat tip to Cincha Romero. Yeah. But being able to do something like that for us, like we have some of that stuff like in the planning stages of more design system wide outreach, because there's some number also ungodly of the different design systems in Meta. There might be over 10, trying to share ideas from a friend DA model and sharing how maybe this XYZ team is the first to market on this integration of tokens in Figma. It would be great to be able to learn from them. Maybe this team is the first to market on like prototyping and like prototyping efficiencies. It'd be great to do that. Another thing that would be good is really showcasing how people are utilizing our specific design system. So talking strictly towards a monetization design org and trying to understand how we could better work with them and interviewing different designers from that team. I think I'm trying to think of not only the vector of design system specific conversation, but then product design conversations.
Yeah. I definitely could see that where you're trying to act as the glue for all these different teams. Because I gotta think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I gotta think that if you know, someone took the tone of gather around everyone as you listen to me depart my wisdom to all of you about how to work with designs, that would not be something I would personally listen to. But if you are trying to connect the dots and act as that binding agent across a large organization like yours, I think that could be, that's a great idea, man. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's not really, it's less of what is Davey and PJ's point of view on this, or what is Davey's point of view on this? Yeah. I can provide my point of view if that comes up, but really shedding the light on how other designers are utilizing design systems or solving these problems. And I did find out from one of our engineering managers, Elle, who works on our design infrastructure team, that there is a Meta Tech podcast that's available on all the different places where you get podcasts, but that's more engineering driven. So it'd be great to have a design flavor of this. And it doesn't need to be something that is public, but I'm sure our fans are, you know, our
fans. Jesus.
Our fans at work or our designers may be interested in probably just something that is shareable. I think that is probably a great look for them as well, being able to shine the light on different product designers.
Davey, you're just going to become a professional podcaster. You're going to have all these different podcasts and, you know, you're going to become an influencer and then you're going to be too important for me at some point. And I'm going to get booted from this podcast and then, you know, become homeless.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Be sure to use the promo code Design System Office Hours. To get your 20% off on Blue Apron.
You're a natural, Davey. That's great. Honestly, I think you could, that would be a really helpful resource for a large, you know, larger company where there's a bazillion different teams doing their own thing. And it's hard to understand how it all fits together.
And sometimes it doesn't fit together, but it would be cool to understand why. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I look forward to not listening to that because it's probably going to be an internal podcast, but you know what I'm saying? I hope you do it.
Yeah. Well, we're almost at 40 minutes this time. Thank you, PJ, for another spirited discussion. And let's talk about building fences again on the next one.
Episode 20, whatever. Building a fence. I love it.
Strengthening the foundations of concrete. Yeah. Thank you.
Sounds great. See ya.